Good morning to all of you who are joining us for the second lesson in the year 2021, January the 10th, 2021. We're going to be studying out of Psalms 31, the first 8 verses. And we're still teaching on when emotions arise. We talked about anger and joy and grief and fear and worry. And today we're going to deal with an emotion that we call the blues. The blues. I asked these guys if they'd ever had the blues, and one of them at least admitted he had.
I don't know
about the other one. But we'll talk about what blues are. Now, the blues is not clinical depression. We're not talking about that you can just will yourself to get out of clinical depression. It's real, and sometimes it takes help. Always God's help, but sometimes medical help too. But we're talking about the blues. Now, on January the 18th of this year, which is 8 days from now, it's been identified as Blue Monday. Now, this third Monday in January has been selected because by now many people have already broken their New Year's resolution. And also, the Christmas bills begin to arrive. And boy, if that won't give you the blues, I mean, there's something wrong. Well, that means you just got a lot of cash. You paid for it.
It's cold and rainy.
So, you know, you don't. Everything just contributes to being a day for you to be blue, quote, blue, and feeling down and out kind of thing. Many friends have had time to tell you, well, just cheer up. They don't have anything to feel bad about, maybe. But this well-intended advice rarely does any good as far as when you have the blues.
There's one difference in this, Herschel.
Okay.
Because most of the companies now have said you don't have a payment for 3 months.
That helps a little, I guess.
So it's going to run it past January to February to March, and about March the 18th is when the Blue Monday is
We may have to amend our calendar.
We might have to.
Lordy, have mercy. Can you imagine all that adding up though between January and March, and you get that payment there, and I guess you got to be paying on January and February, lumping it all together. I never didn't know how all that worked. But let's tell them who we are, Brett Pinion.
I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moorbridge Baptist Church in North Tuscaloosa County, and I'm just at the point of being glad to be anywhere.
That's right. I'm Mike Hall. I'm pastor at New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, Alabama.
And I'm Herschel Owen. And 2 weeks ago, I did the lesson by myself, so I'm glad for them to be here. Not just anywhere, but be here and helping with this lesson. A lot of times I just sit back and listen to them because they've got wisdom and
We try to help you out all we can.
You do the work, and I just sit back and ride on the cart behind the horses there.
Oh boy!
We're glad that he contributes occasionally.
Well, occasionally,
Mike.
We're glad he pitches in a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, just you know, I always want to do my part.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, weathering the blues. Weathering the blues. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to start studying Psalms 31, 1 through 8. So, Mike, how about you leading us in prayer?
Will do. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much, God, for all your blessings every
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for the way you care for us. Help us, Lord, as we deal with our personal emotions, the blues, mm-hmm. the worry, the concerns. God, we know that we let it get out of hand sometimes,
yes,
but you help us to better understand how we can avoid that and how we can cheerfully serve you in every day that we live in Christ's name. Amen.
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 All right, I've kind of divided it up into three sections. Overcoming being down and out? How do you overcome feeling down and out? Obeying God's invitation to turn to Him and trust Him. And then finally offering our total devotion to God. Brother Mike, would you read that first section?
Sure. We start off in the 31st Psalm, Psalm 31, verse 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Bow down Thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be Thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me.
All right. Now then, how do you overcome, quote, the blues, weather the blues? Here's what worldly suggestion. Talk to your friends about your feelings. Go play with a dog or a pet.
Come on.
I like playing with my pet, but I don't know, that nearly get me out of the blues. And when he bit me, it made me more blue. It made me black and blue. Exercise more. Drink more coffee.
Caffeine.
Eat more seafood. Take vitamins and mineral supplements. Well, these might be all right for some things in our life, but they will not alter our feeling of the blues, our mood. Now then, but then you started to say something a minute ago.
Well, I started to say that David had the key to the whole thing. When he had the blues, he says, "Bow down thine ear to me." And when we get the ear of God, the blues are going to do something. I don't know what they're going to do, but they ain't going to stay there.
That's right. Absolutely.
Because in prayer, God's going to change the blues, or He's going to change us, and He's going to make the blues look lighter.
Amen.
Well, what you have said is a wise God-honoring suggestion there. First of all, to trust in God for our difficulties. Don't trust in a city, a mountain, a bank account, a new car, a big important job. David said in Psalms 27:1, "The Lord is the strength of my life." And didn't that go along with what you just said?
Yeah, exactly.
So, folks, if you want to, you can drink coffee and eat more seafood and eat an ice cream sandwich and do all that. And that's okay. It might make you a bigger person.
You'd be hyper, I guarantee. Get bigger, all that sugar high and all that caffeine.
Right, bigger and hyper.
Get you one of them energy drinks, boy. And go
might
for
make
it.
You forget some of it anyway.
You got that right.
But our suggestion is to trust in God. Trust in God. Now let's look in verse 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Not in a bank account, not in the stock market.
Not in the government.
Not in the government. Not in our checks that the government sends us to because of all this COVID stuff.
No.
But God, because He's the only one that can deliver in His righteousness. What do you think it means for Him to deliver us?
Well, to me now, and this is just my personal feeling, the way God delivers me, first of all, He starts with my inner being because, you know, God is not always going to bring you a fish with a coin in His mouth
right.
to pay your taxes
right.
or your bills, you know. He's not always going to just dole it out and say, "Hey, everything's okay. Don't worry about it." That's not always the way God's going to respond. Now, sometimes He does. I had times in my life when, boy, I got down to the last minute and I'm praying, "God, I don't know how you're going to deal with this, but one of us got to do it." And it ain't me because I can't do it. And God come right through. But there's also been times in my life when God has just blown my mind how He didn't do what I was asking Him to do. And then later on, gee whiz, He had a better plan.
He did better, didn't he?
He did a lot better. But to me, when it says, "Deliver me in Thy righteousness," The deliver me usually starts, or no, always starts with my quiet time and my time when I bring it before God, and he begins to help me to understand. We're going to be okay. Come on now. Just put one foot in front of the other sometimes. Sometimes I just have to say, okay, we're going to make it another hour, another 10 minutes. I've come home from work before. I know it sounds crazy, but it worked for me. I've come home from work before and go in my house and close the door behind me and lock it. Because to me, that in essence said, all that mess that's scaring me to death and worrying me to death, I just locked it out there. And then I'd go get in my bathroom, bedroom, my quiet room, my office, my study, my whatever. And there, God and I would spend some time together. And to me, that's where it always has to begin.
And you started out, Michael Hall, with the righteousness of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I knew I'm not by myself.
Right.
The righteousness of God is with me. I know he's going to help me through this.
Right.
Don't know how. And in fact, sometimes I just have to say, God, I really don't care how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know we're going to get through this together.
You're going to do it. Just know you're going to do it.
I'm not walking alone. We're going to do this together.
It's like the old boys. This is actually happened the other day, right before Christmas. One of my friends, his brother-in-law, has Alzheimer's, and the friend's sister said, well, they sometimes, he don't even know, we'll ask him what day it is, and he says, well, I don't know and I don't care. I don't know and I don't care.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I'm just trusting God.
That's right.
And it's whatever it is, if it's Wednesday or Friday or I think he does keep up with Sunday because they are godly people and go to church. But you know, there's some things that we worry about that just when you get right down and look at them, they don't make a bit of sense to be worrying about stuff like that.
No.
People worry about their money. What is money anyhow?
I
don't have
it. It's something you got a lot of.
What I want to do, I'll get one of these guys to give me a $100 bill here in a minute.
Right, sure.
And I'll ask you, how much assurance do I have for that $100 bill? Is it just a piece of paper with $100 on it? Who owes me that?
Mm-hmm. Well,
What's it supported by? What's it collateralized by?
It used to say that you could get some that much gold or silver for it, but it ain't that way no more. It used to be a certificate for gold or silver. Today it's just a piece of paper that's used for exchange.
What is the thing that I think is still on most of our money? It says in something we trust.
In God we trust.
Oh, so it's not the gold that backed it.
That's right.
It's not whatever jumping in the dark. You don't know what's backing it. You don't know who owes it to you. You hope you can go to the bank and get some more of them, get several more of them little old bills like that don't
eventually
add up to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but folks, listen. Our hope is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And if you got your hope in anything else, I'm going to tell you, it'll let you down.
It'll let you down. It always will.
It'll let you down. The Depression came in the 29s and 30 and 31, I believe. You were a grown man back then, Mike.
I'm afraid I wouldn't either.
But anyhow, Mike's the youngest. He's a young whippersnapper here with us.
Yeah.
But they jumped out of windows. They jumped into the river. They jumped in front of cars because their money and their stock in the stock market had gone to nothing. It's gone to nothing. So those kind of things will leave you with the blues. If that's all you got, is when that statement comes in a month and it says you're overdrawn. Then
you've been looking at mine, huh?
Well, no, yours had a one and a lot of zeros behind it, but nevertheless, what good is that? It could be gone tomorrow.
I promise you it can.
And and a lot of people, that's the way it is. But here's when we go to God, the first thing I noticed in 2A, it says, "Bow down thy ear to me." He says, "Hear me, God." Hear Do me. You think God always hears us?
He always hears us, but he doesn't always answer us according to our desires or the direction that we think is the right direction.
I'm glad you added that part. He always hears us, and he always answers us, but not in the way that we thought was best.
Exactly.
And what we thought we wanted. We thought we wanted that. I heard the other day about an old boy that got married and married a beautiful girl. But she was mean as a snake.
Uh-oh, don't tell my story.
Oh, Lord Davine, you whacking one. But sometimes we pray for what we don't need, and we ask God to send us stuff that we don't need.
We do.
What if I prayed for a 747 airplane? Now, I'm a pilot, and I'm trying to fly. I couldn't fly a 747.
You'd have to go to Atlanta to take off, wouldn't you?
Well, in addition to that, I'd have to just drive it like a car down the runway because I ain't trained in a 747.
You go down to the dime store and get you a toy, that would be about the best you can do.
I could control that much better. So if I were to pray for a 747, that would be the most utter stupid thing I ever could do. But sometimes, if you think about it, we pray for stuff just about that foolish.
Yeah, sometimes we do. Yeah,
just about that foolish.
I think about a story I heard one time about a little girl who, the mother had died, and she was just a little child, just a little girl, and she and her daddy was alone, had gone to the funeral, and had left the funeral and come back home. And as they got back home, it was dark, and the little girl just cried. She was just crying. She said, "Daddy, can I sleep with you tonight?" And of course the daddy said, "Sure, darling, you can sleep with me." So he put her in the bed with him that night, and she snuggled up and said, they got through with their prayers, and everything got real quiet and dark. And the little girl said, sort of snuffing her nose, she said, "Daddy, is your face toward me?"
Yeah, that's amen.
And Daddy said, "Yes, darling, my face is toward you." And she went right on to sleep. Sometimes that's the way it is with me and God.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets dark.
Yeah.
And sometimes I can't help but say it, I do. I get afraid. Sometimes I look at things and I'm like, "Wow, God, I just don't see a way." And then all I want to know is, God, if your face is toward me, if you're listening to me, Lord, bow your ear down to me. Just kind of listen. It's kind of like when somebody's dying. You preachers have been through this like I have. And you know when that person's coming to that last breath. And if they try to say something, what you going to do? I mean, everybody in the room is just listening. Mm-hmm. Can I please hear? You know, just want to try to make out what they're saying. And to me, that's what David is saying is, bow your ear down to me. Listen closely, God. I need to know that you're listening to me. And to me, that's what I think that's all about. I know God's listening. I know he is. I know God's ear is never deaf to my prayers.
He never sleeps and slumbers.
But sometimes I just have to say, now listen close, God. This is really getting to me.
This is really serious.
This is really getting to me. But I know he will. I know he will. And then that ties in with what he says. Deliver me speedily doesn't mean that God's necessarily gonna give you what you're asking for in a hurry.
Get us out there on that 747 Hurst.
That's right. He ain't necessarily gonna do that right quick. But boy, he can salve my soul real quick. All I got to do is just feel his cheek next to mine, and I know it's okay. I know it's okay. My wife and I are that way. You know, when things are tough, you know, it's just knowing that she's there.
Sure.
And she's going to be there.
Sure.
No matter the outcome.
Sure.
I'm old enough now, I'm semi-retired, but in my business days, I was always kind of an adventurist, I guess, a risk taker. And I'd stick my neck out sometimes in business, and everybody said that's where you're successful, but sometimes that old neck looks up and there's a guillotine right above it. And I've been in those situations, and I've come home, and she'd just look at me and say, "Listen now, I love you no matter what."
Amen.
And when she says that, I'm okay.
What she is saying is back off, big boy.
Don't sweat it. I'm gonna love you no matter what. It's gonna be okay. And I've been there many times, but I've been that way with God.
Yeah.
Even more times, when I just need to know, God is, got His ear toward me, and He's saying, "Listen, you're mine, no matter what."
So hear me is the first part. Help me is the second part.
Right.
Bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Now, as y'all have said about 4 or 5 times already, but it'll do to repeat the wisdom of it. That doesn't mean now, folks, like my foolish thing about the 747, that doesn't mean God's going to just open the store and say, go ahead and pick out what you want. Or open the bank vault in heaven and say, just get whatever you want. Because some of those things are not good for us.
That's exactly right.
And if in the New Testament it talks about, would a father give his son a stone for bread? God won't either.
No.
Would he give him a serpent for fish? I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm scared of snakes. I shoot them on sight, and I'll even shoot if I don't see one.
or out of the house.
That's right.
And well, I have tried to eat fried rattlesnake, and it ain't good. I don't care what nobody says. I'd much rather have a nice big old pan-sized brim any day.
So that's what God's going to give you. He's going to give you the pan-sized brim instead of that rattlesnake.
And what you're asking for might be that rattlesnake and don't even know it.
Yeah. Now, you don't know that that's what you're...
So that's why I trust Him. Yeah.
If God...
Well, I ain't never been in the rattlesnake business.
No, me neither.
I never have taken it, and I'm thankful not to.
No, I ain't going to start now either.
But sometimes some of the stuff I've asked for would have been just as harmful to me. To me, is that rattlesnake?
Oh, of course.
Now, I have a brother-in-law that I love very much. I'm not going to call his name, but he's a mess. And one night he called, and I answered the phone. He said, "I got supper ready if y'all want to come eat with us." And now he's one, he knows how to fry them fish. Boy, I'm talking about he can fry you up a mess of fish or all that. But now he'll also fry you up some chitlins, and he'll fry you up some something else.
He'll throw some other things in there, huh?
So I put me a Baby Ruth candy bar in my pocket, and I went on over to his house to eat supper. And I got over there, and he had a big old plate full of something that looked pretty good. It was nice and golden brown, but he'd killed an old big rattlesnake out in the woods that day where he was working in the woods cutting logs. And he'd brought that big old rattlesnake home and fried it and put it on the table. And I said, "Brother-in-law, I appreciate it." And I got me a bite of it, but boy, I could not eat that thing. Saved my neck. I started pulling my Babe Ruth candy bar out, but he had a little fried chicken back over there too, so we got that. But anyway, God ain't gonna do that to you. He ain't gonna try to fool with that.
You don't think he's gonna feel
no,
you?
No, he's not.
Even if it's what you think you do want and you would love to have, if it's gonna hurt you, God's not gonna do it.
No, when Satan tempts you with a plate full of fried rattlesnake, Don't trust him. Trust in God. He's got a big old plate of fried chicken back there somewhere he's going to bring that.
I got a little great-grandchild, little girl that's 4 years old. And you think I would give her a gun that's loaded and it one in the chamber and all she's got to do is pull the trigger? No way.
She calls me Pop.
She said, "Pop, I want that pretty gun."
No, baby doll, maybe. That's right.
But I'm not going to give that to you. And that's what sometimes God said to me. He said, "Herschel Owen, I am not going to give that to you because you don't even know what you're asking for."
That's right. You don't know what you're asking for.
But instead, I'll give you something that'll be many times more more valuable and more pleasing to your need than that. But folks, you gotta understand that if you understand that, then these blues thing, you didn't get that sweater you asked for. You didn't, you children maybe listen to us, you didn't get that four-wheeler you thought you was going to get. You didn't get that dirt bike that you thought you were going to get. But what you couldn't see, young person, is right down the road that you was going to have a wreck on that if you got it and break a leg, break your arm, break your neck, something else. And God says, through your parents, you know, we love you and we're not going to give you that. We're not going to give that to you. So he'll hear us. He'll help us. And then what does he mean when he's talking about be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me? Depending on what you think he's talking about being strong.
Well, the rock, of course, is stability. Be my strength. Be my, you know, anything that you can associate with pure safety.
Right.
And I think that's what it probably it means, that he needs him to be that. And knowing the Psalms, having read the Psalms, having gone through a lot of the things that David went through, he knows that he is the strength and that he is going to deliver him some way or other because of the promises that he's made to him.
It's kind of like when you was a kid playing tag, you know, when you got off base, you know, and you go mm-hmm. running around in the yard and the old fella's going to try to tag you,
there
you
is.
Know. But boy, if you can just finally run over and get on base.
Yeah.
Know, or if I can just get on base.
Always a tree, nearly.
That's it. It usually going to be a tree or a post or something you can get a hold of. That's the way it is with, you know, with God. He's like home base. He is that home or that house of defense that's sitting on a solid rock. It ain't going nowhere.
No.
He's always going to be the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. You ain't going to run to God and God say, whoa, 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 don't touch me. Don't come here. You know, when you run to God, God's going to always be there. He's going to be just the same as he was when you was a child, as he is when you're 75 years old. He's still going to be the same God. He's still going to be just like he was then. He's always going to respond the same way. Because Jesus said, I am the truth. So you always come to God the same way, in truth, in righteousness. You come to God, he's going to be the same God.
He's going to be the same God, but now let me tell you something. He's going to mean more to you when you get 75 or 65 or 85 than he did back then.
Right.
He hadn't changed.
That's
you
right.
have.
You have.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah,
amen to that, brother.
So when we walk through enough valleys of shadows of death, as we talked about last week, and then we're gonna discover the really the way that God takes care of us. Now, but come back to the blues thing. I got my visa bill. Lord, did you know when I got my visa bill, Mike, I had charged, I'm going to say $8,000 on it.
God,
dear Lord,
help
please
me.
Help me. So God's going to send a check to the visa company for $8,000. Is that right?
In all likelihood, that ain't going to happen.
I'd say 100% it ain't going to happen. So now, how's he going to help me? How's he going to help me with my blues that I done painted myself blue? But by doing foolish stuff like that, what does he do with us then?
Bad choices have bad consequences. And when the consequences come, God hadn't changed. And he's not going to just holler, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to stay with you as you work that out and as you find a solution. But you're going to have to tighten that belt and do without whatever you have to do without. in order that you can pay that bill that you obligated yourself to. He is the truth, and the truth is you made that bill, and the truth is that you're going to have to make whatever sacrifices are necessary, and God's going to get you through the consequences, but he's not very, 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 very rarely ever going to just write the check.
No.
The thing, go ahead.
If he did, it'd be like some of us parents and grandparents. We go ahead and bail them out.
Yeah.
Of their foolish mistakes they made, and they don't learn any lesson from it.
That's right.
But they go back and do the same thing again.
They do. But God don't let us do that. He makes us stand up and be accountable ourselves.
Yeah, but most of the young folks today, the when they get their one card maxed out, they'll just go to another card. And then another card.
That's right.
Wind up and hock up to their elbows.
That's right.
And have absolutely no idea how they're going to get out of it.
At some point, there's accountability. And God is big on accountability. He really is. As it is with our sins, you know, we say over and over again, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. And he is. But as Paul said, don't go out there and sin just to test grace.
Right.
Don't go out there and act a nut. I'll just put it plainly, act a fool and go to sinning just to, so later on me and God will have our talk. It don't work that way. I'm telling you, you have to be sincere in your repentance and confession. It's the same way whether you're dealing with money or whether you're dealing with love or whether you're dealing with sin. It's all the same thing.
There comes a payday someday. R.G. Lee preached a great message that's still remembered down through the years. Payday someday.
Payday someday, yep. And if the payday train is going to come into the station. Ain't no doubt.
So if you have made that mistake, don't go jump off a bridge somewhere if you get the visa bill and it's got all that on it. But also learn a lesson from it. Now, you may have to get an extra job. You may have to sell something you got.
You may have to keep driving that old flavor car you've been driving until you can get that paid off. But
you pay it off, because the blues don't leave you if you take a shortcut and don't live up to your commitment. God will help you live up to your commitment. It won't be easy. He didn't.
You can call that creditor. You can talk to them, ask for some mercy, you know, that I'll pay you all I can, and they'll work out something with you in ways like that. But you've got to be willing to be accountable for your decisions, your choices.
You brought those blues on yourself. Now, if you're going to get out from under the blues in that kind of circumstance, you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to be willing to put an effort.
Most of the time, if the sun is bright enough and warm enough, I'll sit out on my kitchen porch and just watch traffic.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of blues coming because there's a lot of new cars go by.
Oh, you know it. Yes, indeed.
Because they're selling cars hand over fist at the rate of 3 months' payments.
Yeah.
That's the reason I said it's going to be over in March or April. Yeah.
For those blues really hit.
For those blues to really hit. And it is a sight at the number of new cars that pass in front of our house every day of the world.
Not only a sight, it's a sin, because they have... They place themselves in a position where there'll be family problems between husbands and wives.
Oh.
That is one of the major problems that causes...
Finances is.
Yes, it is. Finances are a major thing. But, again, don't go jump off a bridge. But you can work through that. You can overcome it. You can deal with that tight blues David, of course, was dealing with his son. Absalom was killed. He was being attacked himself. His son Absalom tried to take the throne away from him. Saul threw a spear at him, and David no doubt jumped out of the way. Saul tracked him down like you would a rabbit.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
So he had all of that added to him. But then he cried out, though, and said, God, hear me. God, help me. And God, hold me up. Put me on a rock.
Pull me out of that net. I watched Discovery Channel on television, and at one time, I don't know what they're doing now, but at one time they had a lot of film on the netting salmon.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Up in Alaska. And the thing that struck me about it was when they're pulling those salmon out of the net, the salmon are wiggling, and they're getting in the net in a different way and in a different place, and it makes them more difficult to come out.
Right.
David is saying, pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. And you know, it's hard to get out of a net and not get into it in another way.
That's
worst
true.
Way. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, if we try to solve these problems without God, we're gonna
get in it several ways.
We're gonna be hung up every way you turn.
Yep, absolutely.
So the blues, they are real. They got to be weathered, but they got to be dealt with. And they got to be dealt with honorably and in a godly fashion. Read that next session.
All right, Psalm 31, verse 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength.
Okay. So the first thing we talked about as we deal with the blues is how do we overcome being down and out? Don't listen to what the world tells you. Go buy you anything you want. Buy you something else. Switch from this card over to that card and pay.
You deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I remember a fellow
that
was real good in the community, and he would let people buy things on credit. But he said, you know, when they got where they couldn't pay me, they quit trading with me, and they went somewhere else and started buying. They wouldn't even buy from me.
It's like
they wouldn't buy from me.
Old boy kept on after me, wanting to borrow some money. I kept turning him down because I knew he wouldn't ever pay me back. So finally, one day, I told him, I said, well, okay, I'll loan you a $20 bill. And I loaned him a $20 bill, and never saw him again.
Mm-hmm.
The best $20 I ever spent.
Amen.
But that's the way
got it him is. Off your shoulders.
Got him off my back. Never did come ask for his money no more. I should have done that a long time ago. But anyway, you're right. It's amazing when you hear what David said. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. He just said in the previous verses, you know, you're my safe home, you're my safe haven.
Right.
To take care of me. You're like a fort I can get behind in the old cowboy days.
Mm-hmm.
But then he follows that up, and we got to always remember the rest of the story. You know, you got to remember to read the rest of the verse.
Because
if you just read that, you know, thou art my rock and my fortress, and stop there, then you miss the real point behind. You're my rock and my fortress, God. And then he said, and because of that, therefore, because you are my rock and my fortress, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. My life is in your hands. You do with me what you would will. You use me, you lead me, you guide me. You put my feet where they need to go. I'm gonna be your ambassador. You know, it's not just about God deliver me from this $8,000 credit card debt that you were talking about a while ago so I can go charge it up again. You know, that's not what that's about. You know, God deliver me from this hellion that I am so that I can go about being your ambassador. I can live for you. I can do what you have and guide me, God. That's what the one thing that I've seen so many times, people say something about King David or about David's life. David made a lot of mistakes. He did a lot of stupid stuff. You know, you got to know that. But then the Bible, God said he's a man after my own heart. How in the world could that be? Well, it's because of David's heart for God.
Right.
That's what's behind all of this.
Well, he made his mistakes from being human.
He did.
And
like we do.
One of the things that is in this first verse of the reading that you made a while ago, Mike, is therefore for thy name's sake,
right,
you're going to be glorified in this.
God.
As That's you right. deliver me.
That's right.
As you provide for me.
That's right.
As you bless me, mm-hmm. you're going to be glorified in it because I'm going to see to it.
That's right.
I'm not going to be quiet when I see the hand of God in my life mm-hmm. with blessing after blessing after blessing. I'm going to let folks know
right.
that he is who he said he was and could do everything plus what he said he could do.
Well, Brother Pinion, while you're going along that line, because that second part I have called obeying God's invitation to turn to him. But the first way he wants us to turn to him is for salvation. Explain that and how those people that are not saved and they got the $8,000 credit card bill and who they going to turn to. But explain about how they can be saved, which is the most important part of it all.
Well, it sure is, Herschel, and I'm glad you let me have the opportunity because the first priority in salvation is to recognize sin.
Amen.
And recognize sin in my own life. And in recognizing that sin, I can't go backwards to do anything about it, to make reconciliation for it. I might go back and make apologies to individuals after I turn my life over to the Lord. I think the only thing to do would be to go back, yes. But the thing that we need to realize is, as far as the future is concerned, Mike keeps coming back, and I like what he's doing, coming back to the fact that poor choices cause poor consequences. And when your choices are poor enough that you're not going to recognize what God has done for you in salvation mm-hmm. through his own son, mm-hmm. then you're going to have some poor future in your life and about your life.
Eternal.
Yeah, it's going to last from now on. And you need to turn from that. Ask God to forgive you. Ask him to come into your heart. Tell him you'll live for him and serve him to the best of your ability from now on if he'll forgive you of those sins. And if and when he does, if you mean it, he will. If you're trying to spook him, you won't, he won't, and you won't be the recipient of anything from God.
Amen.
It'll be something that you'll be foxed off yourself instead of foxing God off, because you ain't going to do that.
And I tell you, them kind of dealings won't cure any kind of blues. I had a situation where I preached revival many years ago, and I didn't know the boy and his family were there, but they were. And so about 2 weeks later, they called and wanted to come to church. And, of course, I it's a rare thing for folks to call and want to know if it's okay for them to come to church. So I thought, that this doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
So I said, certainly you can, won't you to? Well, he did, and I discovered that he had broken the law and had been arrested. So I laid down some perimeters that he could come to church, and couldn't go beyond those perimeters. And then I don't know, two or three months rocked on, and one day he mentioned to me that did I know the district attorney, did I know him, the And I did. And he said, "Well, you see if you can get me out of this." And I said, "No." No. No, you did the crime. Now you pay, you do the time. And if you really meant, because he said even openly in the church that he had repented. I said, if you really repented, you'll go ahead and you'll pay your debt that you owe. Well, be honest with you, he really had not repented as far as I could tell. And he still had his blues, because you don't whitewash God. You don't pull the wool over God's eyes.
Nope.
And God knew good and well. So if you're thinking about dealing with your blues and not dealing with them like Brother Pinion said, through admitting you're a sinner and admitting you're going to go to hell if somebody don't help you, and Jesus is the only one that can, but he was willing to and died for you, then there's no cure for your blues. Your blues are going to get worse and worse.
I had a preacher one time that did some bad stuff. I was leaving at that. And he came to me after he had gotten out of jail for doing that bad stuff and wanted me to put him on my radio station and let him, you know, preach on my radio station. And I said, "Well, let's talk about it." And we talked a little bit, and he just wanted to preach and do all that. And I said, "You know, all of that's great. That's wonderful, and I love that." And he said, "I just want to buy it because," he said, "I've been in jail and I'm out now, and I just want to get on the radio." He said, "In fact, I even named my ministry, 'You Can't Keep a Good Man Down Ministry.'" And I thought, "Nope, that ain't going on my radio."
He was labeling himself as a good man.
There was no repentance in that to me, because now Paul had been in jail.
Yes, sir.
But he was a good man.
He was.
But the guy, Paul, was in prison because he wouldn't shut up and quit preaching the gospel.
Paul was in there because he was right.
He wasn't in there because he had done wrong.
Right.
And a repentant person is not going to be a prideful person.
No.
A repentant person is going to be an humble person. And to me, when we're humble and we really are repentant, then we're going to be. David had done wrong.
Yeah.
And when David did wrong, Nathan came to him and told him he had done wrong.
Right, absolutely.
And David immediately said, "You know, God, do what you got to do. You know, God, do what you got to do. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it." But literally, he prayed to God. He said, "Deal with me according to your merciful kindness."
Yeah, your loving kindness.
Your loving kindness. And to me, that's when you're truly repentant. That's why David was a man after God's own heart, in spite of being the sinner that he was. So to me, that also are the circumstances that helps us to get out of the blues. I get in the blues a lot of times because I've messed up.
Right.
And sometimes I'm in the blues not because I messed up, because Satan's just after me and worrying
right.
the far out of me.
Oh, he knows how to do it.
But you know, either way, I want God to deal with me according to his merciful kindness, his loving kindness. I do. Yeah, because if I messed up and I need chastising, it ain't going to be fun, and I don't want it. But
get your pen out and let him sign that.
I'll sign it. Come on, Lord, do what you got to do. Please have mercy while you're doing it.
And that's all right. You can
hallelujah,
pray
God. Please have mercy while you're doing it.
Amen.
There's consequences to everything we do. But there's also sometimes there's a difference between consequences and punishment.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's what I tell people all the time about our circumstances in America. Our circumstances in our society. Wicked, yeah. And we're doing stuff now that, honest to goodness, I don't see how in the world God doesn't just swoop down and just wipe us off the map. Honestly, I don't.
Well, the thing that frustrates me, Mike, is how could a man get in such miserable circumstances that he would take his own camping vehicle
Right. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
park it in on a main street in Nashville, Tennessee, and not only blow up it,
yeah,
but blow up everything around it and blow himself up in it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's when you let Satan just completely take over your life.
There's some things there that went awry a long time ago.
Absolutely.
That
Absolutely.
God could have cared for, God could have ministered to, God could have delivered from, and made that man into a productive individual in society.
Amen. And God would have been willing to do it the very day that he did the dastardly act that he did.
Oh, absolutely.
If he would have.
Yeah, if he had been really, truly repentant and wanted God's help. But feeling safe with God is the key to feeling sure about life. And that's what David said there. I want you to be my rock. I want you to be my fortress, and I want it to be for your glory, your sake, and I'm willing to be led and to be guided. Have you ever had an old? I don't know if either one of y'all are plowed like I have, but ornery mule and horse, and that rascal didn't want to be led. He didn't want to be directed. He didn't want to be controlled.
Yeah.
Well, there's some humans that way too. Mm-hmm. Until you get past that point, the blues, not only about Christmas and spending and debt, but about your own life and the condition it gets in, it's going to continue, and you're going to have to deal with it, and it's going to be a stone around your neck until you are willing.
How did you change that old mule? Sometimes you whoop the far out of it.
That's like the man that came and said, I can help you with your horse. And he said, he picked up a 2x4 and knocked that horse slap to his knees.
Right.
And he said, why'd you hit my horse like that? He said, because you first got to get their attention.
Yeah.
Sometimes God got to get
our and attention. That's the way God is with us sometimes, Herschel.
And he's hit me with a 2x4 and put me on my knee in my life, too. And I deserved every lick that he gave me.
Yeah.
Every
one of us there.
And he did it in love. It's like Mama used to tell me when she'd be tearing me up with a peach tree limb. I do this because I love you. And I thought, oh, Lord, Mama, you don't have to love me that many.
Deliver me from love.
I wish you didn't love me that much.
but the truth is, Mama did love me. And the truth is, God does love me. And he ain't going to just let me run and my life run anyway. He's going to bring the blues and the black and blues and everything else to me.
He's got to do what he has to do.
To get That's his right. child come back home. There's a song that said, it is well with my soul when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And that's when you are coming over the hill with the victory over the blues. When you can truthfully say, I have learned, it is well with my soul.
When that man wrote that song, what had happened in his life?
He lost
all of his family.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had gotten the news that his wife and his children had all perished in a shipwreck. And he was, wow.
And that's
the blues, boys.
That's right,
deep.
But that's the handling of it.
That's deep.
That it wouldn't be easy for me to say if I got a call in here while we're doing this and said your wife burned up, one of the boys has been in a bad car wreck and dead. Could I say, Lord, it's still well with my soul.
Woo!
It's still well with my soul.
Yeah.
I don't think humanly I got that. But God could give it to me. Did give it to this guy.
Yeah,
did
absolutely.
Give it to this guy. Well, we're going to have to go on. I tell you, these lessons get so good, it's just hard to get through them.
Well, the next verse of Scripture in the 31st Psalm, verse 5, sounds very familiar, but it's a sound. What David says to start out with Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Where else did we hear that spoken? On the cross by Christ. When the sins of the world had been placed upon him. And he said, into thine hand I commit my spirit. And then David goes on to say, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room.
So, this part is offering our total devotion to God. When we keep our minds on our blessings and not on our burdens, this is a deliberate choice we have to make.
Yep, absolutely. The thing of it is, David starts out that verse, I have completely turned my life over to you.
Right.
You know, when he says, he doesn't just say I commit my soul, because my soul, you know, to me is a bit different from the spirit in the sense that, you know, but I commit my spirit, which is my whole being, that is me, down to the bottom line of everything that is. You know, I'm in your hands, and I'm willing to lay that all on you, into you. And then he goes on with the confidence, and to me that's amazing, because you know, it's like, you've seen these, I don't know what they call them. They got these little exercises they do to help people become more, more humble and willing to depend on other folks. They'll stand up on something and somebody get behind them, and then they'll just kind of lean backward and fall into their hands. But David just put everything into God's hands. And then but he did it with confidence, because he said, you have redeemed me, O God of truth. He knew right then what God was going to do with his spirit. He wasn't committed into some unknown. To him, that was it. You know, I trust my Lord.
There's a passage in our study book, just a paragraph, a short one I want to read.
Okay.
Go for it.
Says, in our moments of despair and depression, we may feel no one sees or cares. But God sees and knows, and he cares. Even the most inconsequential issue does not escape his notice when it pulls us down. Instead of being led by our feelings, let's trust God, who does not hand us over to the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah,
amen.
Boy.
And I'm going to tell you something. When you truly get there, Like Brother Pinion just read that great statement there. Then you are, with God's help, going to overcome whatever blues you're going through, whatever feeling of down and outness, sadness, and troubles that you feel. Then you've reached the point where you can lean on the everlasting arm. You can lean on God. And God will never let you fall down from those exercises.
He'll never forsake you. As David said in verse 8, you have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You know, a lot of times we'll have good friends and so forth, and yet when they get in front of other people, you know, then they act differently. They're not the same friend they were before. But God's not that way. Even in the presence of Satan and the full force of the devil and all of his minions, God is going to be right there the same still and forevermore.
Yesterday, today, and forever. Listen,
never
now.
Never changing.
We've told you we didn't tell you how to pay your debts off, because we don't know we don't know how to tell you to do that, except just work at it and be faithful.
Trust in the Lord and let him
help
you through it.
Admit you.
Well, now, Herschel, we might figure it out between now and March 15th.
Oh, yeah. We'll work on it. We'll be thinking about it.
Tune in every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. You never know what you're going to learn.
That's right. But in the meantime, you tell God you've made a mess. I don't say, God, it was my wife's fault, my grandpa's fault. I did it, Lord.
My children's fault.
That's right. You tell him, you go ahead and admit it.
Ungrateful.
And then ask his help. And you doing your part, not get a magical solution, and God will help you. The blues can become the brights, and that's what we're praying you'll find in your life. Thank you for joining us. Do so next week right here on the radio station.